Episode 12, Saving Money on Healthcare.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Hey everyone, I'm Jen.
And I'm Jill.
And we are the Frugal Friends Podcast, and we're talking about saving money, spending less, and incorporating all those lessons you learn through doing those things into the rest of your life and letting it benefit you and the world. That was a really deep intro.
Welcome, welcome. Glad you found us.
So yeah, it's a deep intro for a deep topic that we're getting into today. Mm-hmm. But first, let's hear from our sponsors, one of which exists, one of which doesn't.
See if you can guess which one exists and which one doesn't.
It's like a game of wait, wait, don't tell me. And there's one truth and one lie, and you have to guess which host is telling the truth. So our first sponsor is Beans and Rice. Today's podcast is brought to you by Beans and Rice. When you're wondering what to eat and you want to go out, you should just cook beans and rice. Beans come in a can and rice comes in a bag, and you always have it on hand. It's always there for you. It has your back, like a lot of commercial products say that they have your back. But you know who really has your back? Beans and rice, because they don't cost a lot. So if you're looking for a great alternative to a night out, try beans and rice.
Oh, it's a good sponsor. Glad we have sponsor this week.
Love them. So good.
Also, our other sponsor is podcastcrafter.com. That's right.
Definitely fake.
You can't give it away, Jen. The listeners are supposed to decide. Podcastcrafter.com for all your podcasting needs, whether you're an individual, a business, a corporation. I don't know the difference. You do if you're asking and you want to make a podcast, or you want to know correct mic technique, like where's your mouth supposed to be?
I had to learn that.
To get the best kind of sound, like what you're listening to right now. Check out podcastcrafter.com. They got some sweet packages. They're the ones who are bringing you this sweet, sweet sound in your ear right now. Well, really, it's my voice that's bringing you this sweet, sweet sound. Mm-hmm. But it's so a sweet. Lot of editing. It's a lot of mic technique that I had to learn. So thanks to Podcast Crafter.
Oh my gosh. When you meet us, you will be so disappointed in how we actually sound. Cause it's not as buttery as on this podcast. And podcasting is a great hobby. If you don't want to go out to eat and spend money, you can make beans and rice and start a podcast and save a lot of money. It's much cheaper than a lot of other things you could do as a hobby.
Yeah, so now it's up to you whether Beans and Rice or podcastcrafter.com are our real sponsors. So you could probably do a quick process of elimination by just, you know, looking up podcastcrafter.com and seeing if it's a real website that helps you create podcasts.
Hey, but you can also Google Beans and Rice to see if that's a real meal, Jill. Spoiler alert, it is. And you can add onion to it. You can add some saffron, get some.
I was going to ask you, like, how do you dress up some beans and rice? Because I know people do that for a meal a lot. I really don't do it.
So beans and rice suggests that you add enchilada sauce to it. Actually, that's what I did this weekend. I added enchilada sauce to the beans and then just had everything out like a taco bowl style.
So you didn't just do beans and rice. You did a whole taco bowl.
Hey, it's still a beans and rice bowl.
Is that what people mean when they say beans and rice? What they really mean is like, I went all out and I made myself a burrito. I did.
Sometimes, maybe. It's all about dressing it up. You can have the same meal and you put different spices and different toppings on it. And it's like just as cheap because usually, like, I already had salsa, I already had cheese, I already had sour cream, like, I had everything. And all I need to do is make it. And it's super quick.
Listen, I just want to hear from the people who actually just eat beans and rice. Enough of this lying to me.
It's, I'm sure, common, beans and rice, rice. I'm sure people do it. But, like, why do you have to? Frugality isn't about the cheapest option. It's about making a inexpensive option optimal.
Here you go. Getting into the deep stuff again.
It's about putting your avocado on beans and rice and not toast.
But you
although
can put it,
toast
you can put it on
might
toast.
Be cheaper.
All right. Let's get into the content today.
Speaking of avocados, they're healthy, and we're talking about healthcare.
Yeah.
I spent 5 years in healthcare as an acupuncturist, so I have heard pretty much all of it. I have so many things to say about saving money on healthcare because it's literally, it was my life's work for 5 years is helping people spend less on healthcare because I worked as a community acupuncturist. So we charged on a sliding scale of 15 to 35 per treatment, which normally people will pay like $75 for an acupuncture treatment.
Wow.
So yeah, like this is one of my great passions. So I'm really excited to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, then I'm excited for you and I'm excited for me. And I just need to say that this will then probably be mostly me interviewing you because I do not take healthcare that seriously.
But Jill, you're so healthy that you don't need to. And honestly, I would not know half of this. I wouldn't know most of this if I wasn't around so many sick people for over 5 years. Yeah. They taught me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is going to be, I'm excited. I'm looking at our show notes and I think it's going to be some good things for some people. So
yeah, normally I just have one bullet point on things.
Not today.
But I think I have a lot of bullet points.
Not today, folks. And I'm just going to say it off the bat because normally I don't say it until the middle or the end. But again, our show notes have a lot of content in them. Sometimes fun pictures, all of the links we talk about, some of the tips that we talk about if you don't have time to write it down. So definitely check those things out on our website, frugalfriendspodcast.com.
Yeah, Jill does the show notes and she is great at them.
Yeah, I'm really plugging it just so you can see my writing style.
I make the notes and after I make the notes, I have no energy. And then she makes them understandable.
It's good. It's good stuff.
For the people.
You know, it's a give and take, Jen. That's what it, that's what it is.
It's why I love having a partner. I would hate to do all this by myself. It's why I don't make a really good blogger.
You are a really good blogger, but anyhow.
Thanks. Wink. All right, let's get into what the internet has to say about saving money on healthcare. Our first article today is from The Balance. It's 10 tips or 10 ways to keep your healthcare and insurance affordable. And a lot of what concerns people is health insurance. And it's a big, big expense. Mm-hmm. And we definitely want to focus on that as well as focusing on ways to keep you from having to tap into your health insurance. But the way it is right now, you have to have insurance, you know, at the time of this recording, you're required to. So it's, you know, it's something that you need. It's definitely the number one reason people go bankrupt. So it's important to have. But if you're healthy, it's a pain to have for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What stuck out to you in this article, Jen?
Well, my favorite one was number 3. And that was, let me scroll down to it so I get it, just get the wording right. So manage your healthcare costs by checking medical billing and beware of balance billing. So this is something that people take for granted a lot. they assume that when they receive a hospital bill or any type of medical bill, that they have been charged the correct amount. We just assume that we go in somewhere, we buy something, and they charge us for it. But studies have shown that the rate of error in medical billing is super high. Mm. And it happens very frequently that you'll be charged either an outrageous amount for something that doesn't cost that much, mm-hmm. As a mistake, versus sometimes it's just outrageous, but sometimes it's a mistake. And also for things that you didn't receive. Mm. So you can be charged for either of those. And that's really, really common. One of our group members in the Facebook group, she said that actually happened to her because we did a poll to see how people save on their healthcare. And she actually, every time she gets a bill, she just makes it a habit to call and make sure she understands everything that's on the bill. And hopefully you won't have a lot of these bills, so it's worth it to do that. But she has found errors on there that she would not have even known were errors if she hadn't called. Mm-hmm. And I've heard this happen to somebody else. If you're seeing your bill and you're unsure of something, don't take for granted that you're just ignorant. Mm-hmm. Call and be the squeaky wheel and like make sure you either get it taken off or you 100% understand why it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. We had this happen to us. We like don't ever go to the doctor. And the one time that we did, we were billed incorrectly or above and beyond. We had already paid there. And then they sent us another bill saying that we owed them money. And it's important to take care of that because that can affect your credit score. Like they can, medical costs, they can continue to post that like this is something that you owe. So I didn't want that to keep lingering. But yeah, so just calling and correcting the issue.
Yeah. How about you, Jill? What'd you notice?
So number two in this article is talking about getting an insurance broker. So normally that kind of seems like, okay, a middleman, I don't know if I want to waste the money on that. And I'm not positive on how they get paid for, you know, being that kind of go-between. But we did have a health insurance broker at one point that really did find us the best deal, like better than what I could find anywhere else, better than what my work was offering us. So I guess even with the payment that he took out of it, it was still cheaper than anything else that I could find. And he also helped to explain other aspects of what the insurance did, how it was covered, and kind of gave us that peace of mind of like, well, if this doesn't go through, like we've got this person to call who like told us that this is how it's supposed to be. And then was also able to find us other insurances too. So it was kind of like a nice, not that it was packaged, but he helped us out, not just in health insurance, but other insurances as well. So that was a good experience for us. And I would say is worth looking into, especially if you're just really unsure and navigating this whole medical insurance field.
Yeah. And who is confident in navigating the health insurance field? I feel like it's similar to getting an accountant to do your taxes. Like for years, I refused to pay the money to have somebody else do my taxes because I was like, why would I pay somebody to do this? Like when I can essentially do it myself. And the first time I did it, he was like, my goal is to pay for myself, like to find you things that you'll get enough back that it just pays for me. And he did. Like he paid for himself, like, times over. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's similar with an insurance broker. You might pay something up front, but in the long run, the knowledge that you gain might make up for it. But I guess it's just something you have to do research on.
Yeah, definitely.
So
anything else for you, Jen?
Yeah, I also liked number four. Mm. And this is something that I have used. It's alternatives to traditional healthcare insurance options. So immediately when I think of that, I think of healthcare sharing ministries, which is what I was on before we were able to get insurance with my current job. because for years, neither Travis or I had jobs that offered healthcare. And we went with a healthcare sharing ministry called Christian
Healthcare. Care.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's who I have right now. Mm-hmm.
And we never had to use them, but they were affordable and we were healthy. So it was really just like catastrophic care, mm-hmm. insurance, and so that we didn't have to pay the penalty. Yep. But this article taught me something. So a lot of people don't realize that they're eligible for group insurance type benefits. So one of them is the Farm Bureau Health Insurance. So that sounds like it's only available to farmers, but it's actually an insurance plan that's based on community. So it's based on your location. And so you can, it only gives this one example, but you can maybe look for group insurance plans like this. That if you don't get it through your work or it's not cheap enough through your work, you can compare it to something like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked that. I liked that one too. I actually opened that in a different tab because I'm going to look into that later and see if I can beat the cost of what I'm paying now.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I also liked number 10 in this article, which is talking about just comparing costs for specific procedures. So if your doctor is saying you need such and such, I mean, first of all, ask it, and, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions, which is what the next article talks about. But, you know, is this procedure really necessary? Do I need to have this? You know, doctors can understand, like, money doesn't grow on trees for some people. And, you know, I need to be able to afford this. So is it necessary? And then beyond that, don't just go to the first place that is recommended to you. Call around and see and compare prices in your area, and even ask maybe other friends who you know have had similar procedures, because there are some places who will do it for half the cost of what maybe where you would have gone. So I think, yeah, definitely shopping around. Eric and I did that for our immunizations. And then even saying, you know, if I pay cash, if I do the, you know, if I pay early, if I don't wait 30 days, you know, can you negotiate? Because a lot of times that can work as well. They can give a little bit of a discount if you just ask and negotiate and offer cash. It can work.
Yeah. There are websites where you can compare the cost of local medical procedures to try and keep the prices low. And I'm drawing a blank of which website I found it late last year, but it looks like there are a few like a Blue Book, there's Hospital Cost Compare, Fair Health Consumer, but there are definitely companies that will compare your local costs. And if I find it, I will send it to Jill and she'll put it in the show notes. But that's a really good way to give yourself some negotiating power. And
nice.
Yeah, I think the last one that I want to talk about is one that I didn't love. It's number 7. It's using the technology like fitness trackers to get discounts on your insurance. They don't save you that much. There are a lot of stipulations that come with using that stuff to lower your insurance. It says like United Healthcare gives reimbursement incentives up to $1,500 a year, but that's really like, it's not like it's taking $1,500 off of your payment. It's more like giving you $1,500, you know, worth of perks, or it might take a little bit off a gym membership. You might get a gift card for like clocking in 10,000 steps for 6 weeks, like, or a day for 6 weeks. If you did 10,000 steps in just 6 weeks, you should check yourself. But it's not, especially for the price of some of these technology, like fitness trackers, it's it's not the best way to save. It's not like the most bang for your buck sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And, but definitely check your insurance. If you, you know, get insurance through work, see what kind of benefits your plan has, you know, for staying healthy and staying fit.
Yeah. I will say, so I agree with you, Jen, but I will say that the healthcare sharing plan that I have through Christian Care Ministries, they do offer a cheaper or discounted rate if you go through their, it's like a certain set of steps that you have to go through to qualify for like the healthy plan, where they will actually, like you have to go have an exam done, signed off by a doctor, take certain measurements, do these different things to prove that you're healthy. So to them means less risk for them. And it's maybe a 10 to 15% discount per month off of what you would have paid. Eric and I haven't done it yet because it is a little bit of a process to do that. Just going to the doctor and having them sign off on these different things. But that's real savings right there, and could be worth it if that's what you're doing.
That is a legitimate savings. And if you can get, if 10% off can pay for the price of your checkup, then that's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, when we were on healthcare sharing, we did not have to get checked up. We just said, yeah, we're healthy. And we could have for sure been lying, but they have three tiers, and, on the one we were on, and we just picked the middle tier 'cause it was like $85 a month.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anything else to say about this one, Jill, before we move on?
That's it on this one.
All right. Thanks to The Balance for writing that great piece of internet fodder. Our second one is the place, well, we had to include it because it's the first place you go when you're sick. WebMD.
Yes. They're the ones who tell you you have cancer, so why not ask them how to save money?
And it's so funny because, so there, this is the article, 5 ways to save on medical costs. And like, they are kind of acknowledging in the first, or like in one of these, that like, they're like, maybe as contrary to what you believe, maybe you don't have cancer.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Not like not fully acknowledging that they're the ones that gave you that idea in the first place, but fully knowing like, yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's not all bad. Maybe you're not dying yet.
Yeah. So that's a funny one. But so yeah, there's 5 ways. I think my favorite one of the 5 was number 5. Talk with your doctor about pill splitting. I had never heard this. And I would love to know if somebody's like actually done the research on this. But it says that sometimes of a like a drug, the same, so like getting 10 pills of a 10 milligram drug is the same price as getting 10 pills of the 20 milligram version. So it's, they're charging by number of like per pill versus the size of it. If it's, you know, because 10 milligrams seems like a negligible size, but you can see if you can, if you know that, you can see if your doctor will just prescribe you the 20 milligram pills like in a half, and the pharmacist will split them for you. You don't have to worry about that unless it's a pill that can't sit split, I think. Drugs are so weird. but they sell pill splitters. That's a thing you can buy. And my grandma had one. That's how I know about
I've
that.
I've seen those.
So
it's one of those things you can just save money that way. Dollar store, and you'd be like, "What is this?" And then when you know what it is, it's like, "Oh yeah, I need that."
Yeah, it's a tiny little thing. I bet my mom still has it. But
like an itty bitty cheese cutter.
It's, you know, it looks like a, so hers is a little blue box, and then you just put, you open it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a, almost like a nutcracker.
Yeah.
You open it up, you put the pill down on it, and then you just shut it and it splits the pill.
This is our episode on drugs. Up next, how to make meth in your basement.
And then how to get the best alcohol buzz. Is that how they say it? The best buzz.
I don't know what they say. Who are you hanging out with?
You don't know.
Yeah. And obviously this wouldn't work with like capsules that have liquid right in them. Like use your brain. Correct. But if this is possible, then that's great.
Yeah. So it's not available. I mean, it's not possible for every pill, but if you already have a pill that you're taking regularly, and obviously like it's not worth doing the research on it if this is a one-time prescription, you know? If it's something you're taking regularly and you notice that it has a little line down the center, mm-hmm. that means it can be split. And you can then do the research and see if it would be cheaper to do it that way. But I thought that was a pretty interesting thing. I didn't know. I didn't realize that some drugs get charged by the pill versus...
Yeah,
the
milligram amount. Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I trust WebMD.
Yeah, fully, you know, fully. When I type something in and WebMD comes back with like, this is the consensus. I'm like, well, there it is.
Yeah. Then I definitely have cancer.
Definitely dying tomorrow. So live it up.
Right. That's why I'm doing this podcast. Yes,
this is what I choose to do.
Yeah. How about you, Jill?
I really liked number one, and I think I already mentioned this, but that's the ask questions. And literally it says, doctor, is this really necessary? I mean, you can probably say that in your own words. It doesn't have to be that direct quote, but being open with your doctor about, yeah, listen, I'm broke and health insurance is not really a thing for me, or this is going to cost me a lot of money. So is this necessary, or is there a cheaper option, or all those things? Just ask questions and tell your doctor what's up.
Yeah. And number three was the one that I was talking about where they're like, it says, actually, the better question is, when do you seek medical care and when do you not need to? Yes. And the one, it's take advantage of online tools. That's like what number three is. And I was like, and they're like, definitely come to WebMD, but like maybe you don't have cancer, but definitely keep coming and reading our cancer section.
But literally every time you go on to WebMD, they're like, it's probably cancer, but we want to be free of all liability. So go to your doctor. So it's just going to be like this big old circular thing. Yeah. But I will say I did love number three for what it is. And I would take that a step further to just really know what's an emergency and what's not. You know, what can you handle with some super glue by yourself versus what do you need to go to the doctor for? Eric and I are infamous for this one. We work in construction sometimes when we need money and we get hurt. I mean, Eric gets hurt the most. I get hurt sometimes. I got hurt on the job last summer.
Oh my gosh, I think I remember the story.
Doing the dishes. Yep. So go figure. Like, I'll work with power tools all day. And then it's like when I go to clean up my dishes that I slice myself. So we were doing our dishes in the bathroom sink because we were renovating the kitchen. And so the bathroom sink, I don't know what kind of material it was, but the glass was wet and I dropped it in the sink and then it shattered, but I tried to catch it in the sink. So I literally just slammed my hand down on some broken glass. There was blood everywhere.
Like, stop it. The visual.
Listen, you said you were in healthcare for 5 years, so you know about this. So I like just ran to the tub and just started like running water down it. Like, well, actually, no, that's not true. First of all, I just jumped around like not knowing what to do because I've never seen so much blood just like freely flowing from my body. Just like, what do I do? I just was like whipping it all over. I started running down the hall and I'm like, where am I going? Like, what am I thinking is going to happen down the hall? Get back in the bathroom. And of course, everything in the bathroom is white. Everything. anything. They probably still have bloodstains on their shower curtain.
Oh, God.
Luckily, it was in the home of a PA and a nurse. So we were able to call them and be like, what should we do? And they were like, yeah. So they came back home. They checked it out. They're like, you should definitely get stitches. And I was like, no. So I implemented number one, which is ask your doctor. Like, no, but really, that's not an option.
But then don't trust your doctor. That's 1A. Like,
you definitely need stitches, but we could try some super glue. And I was like, yep. Option number two. Ding, ding, ding. What's behind that door? And I'll tell you what, it's a sweet, sweet scar and a little bit of numbness in my right pinky.
Oh my God. And you thought when she mentioned super glue, she was telling a joke. Like you thought she was being funny, but she wasn't.
No, actually, I could post that picture in the show notes, like what the gash was and how it looks now. But yeah, like if I rub it, like certain parts are like numb and tingly. But hey, it was free.
And you know what? They'd probably, even if you went and got stitches, it would still be numb and tingly.
Probably.
That would not have changed.
Yeah. Eric has the same thing in his wrist. He almost hit his artery.
Oh, my God.
And then we just super glued that one right up.
So we're not doctors. Don't super glue yourself. Like, that's not what we're saying.
Listen.
You should for sure, number one, seek a doctor. And... or medical advice from a doctor friend or a physician's assistant or a nurse.
But number three on this thing, take advantage of online tools. But okay, but here's the real thing. Here's some real scoop for you. Doctors are using stitches less and less, and they do use versions of glue. I think it's very similar to super glue, where if they don't need to stitch you, they will glue you. Granted, they might be a little bit more...
they will glue you.
They might be a little bit more accurate. Your scarring might be better if you go to the doctor, but it's probably pretty similar stuff.
Yeah, it depends on how good your doctor is.
Exactly. You never know. It could be a gamble.
Yeah. And definitely another thing number three says is that not all medical facilities are created equal. So there's like emergency room and then there's emergency like clinics and then there are walk-in clinics. And it's good to know that anything like a walk-in clinic is not a walk-in clinic. If it says like emergency, it's an emergency walk-in clinic, mm-hmm. and it will be more expensive than something that says urgent care. Yeah. So know that too. It's cheaper. If it doesn't say emergency on it, it's going to be cheaper.
And good to know.
They might use super glue, but it's cheaper.
When you're in the throes of pain and you feel like you might pass out, just remember, go for urgent care, not emergency.
Yeah. Don't go to an emergency.
Yeah.
Like my mom had a cold last week and she was coughing like she had bronchitis. And she was like, I'm going to go to the emergency room. And I'm like, stop. You don't need to go to the emergency room. Because she's had pneumonia in the past. So, yes, she should go see somebody. That's something you should not mess with. Mm-hmm. So she needs to go see somebody. But I was like, go to an urgent care clinic. It's going to be cheaper. And if you don't have pneumonia, it's going to save you a lot of time and money. If you do, it will cost you no extra time or money because they're going to send you right to the ER and you'll be, you know, in the same place you were going to be. But it's better safe than sorry. So that's why I love these urgent care clinics.
Well, and insurance companies are pushing for this too. I mean, ERs can be so overwhelmed by people who do just go there because they're like, I feel sick. And so there's incentives for these, you know, and they're popping up all over these urgent cares. And all of, and even doctor's offices will sometimes have extended hours because they are getting like kickbacks from insurance companies and different places because if they are making efforts to decrease the amount of people in the ER, then that's good. And I think it also speaks to the fact that a lot of things that are going to the ER aren't necessary. to be in the ER. So
yeah, I mean, the doctors and the nurses in the ER are overworked. God bless them. They do so much. They deal with so much. Mm-hmm. So if you don't need to be there, don't go. There are other options.
Save it for the gunshot wound victims.
Yeah. Yeah. There are other options for you to get care, and they are subsequently more affordable.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's the middle of the show.
Uh-oh.
And we have a special
Bill of the Week.
Time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Today, we have a Bill of the Week text message. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult since we make Bill of the Week so vague. Maybe, I don't know. To get bills of the week sent in. So you should definitely visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill and send us one, because we are always and forever desperate for them. But we're grasping at straws here. So we got a text message and we're going to read it.
Yes. Somebody sent our, what was it? They sent our Google voicemail a text.
Yes. So they sent our Google voicemail a text message. And that text message does not come with a name. It just says, who this? And Jill was convinced.
Did you say, this is Bill?
Jill was convinced that we should respond, but I was too nervous. She thought we should call while we're recording.
I definitely think we should call. Because they're asking us a legit, fair question. They want to know who this is. We could tell them it's the Frugal Friends podcast. What's your favorite bill?
Yeah, but we got our first wrong number on the Google voicemail. And you
listen,
know.
Someone who's not even a listener is better at sending us bills of the week than our actual listeners.
Ugh, this is so true, Jill. Like,
we got a bill of the week from a stranger.
Yeah.
We should send him a gift.
Oh my gosh, a text gift. A GIF.
Oh, they make those.
They do. Maybe I'll think about it. I will figure out how to do it because I don't know how.
Yeah.
But anyways, if you want to send your bill of the week, please, please send us on our Google voicemail. You can find it at frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. Or you can record a voice memo if you're worried about messing up, and just email it to us at frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And we want to hear your bill. Or I'm going to start approaching strangers on the street and asking them their bill.
Maybe that's what people want. They want to see us get desperate.
Should we make a new segment called Bill on the Street?
Yes. I don't really talk to people on the street, but I could start.
Neither do I, yeah. For this, I would.
Yeah, it's that important.
It's work related.
Yeah.
Well, moving on, back to healthcare. And so there were some good things that Jill and I have to offer that were not mentioned in these articles. And as always, we are highly offended that they didn't consult us and our ideas. But anyways, we'll start. We can ping back and forth, Jill, if you want.
Okay, perfect.
All right. So my first one is preventative care. And I found this article from the New York Times. And it's about a study that says preventative healthcare actually doesn't help health insurance cost less. And I feel like it's something that people are going to read and essentially read the title, understand it to be what they want it to be, and then not read the article and just say, well, if preventative care won't keep it lower, I won't try it. Mm. But I felt it really useful to say that what they are saying is preventative care are things like colonoscopies and screenings for diabetes and all this stuff, not the preventative care that prevents needing those screenings, like eating good sources of fiber, or like limiting sugar and increasing exercise. So when we mention preventative care for the rest of this show, like that's what we mean, not the preventative healthcare that's defined by healthcare.gov.
So, good word. Yeah, girl. That's true. I mean, obviously, if you have those things in your family history, then you know whether or not those are the types of screenings you should be doing. But yeah, using the word preventative as true A and B means C. Like they're linked. Mm-hmm. 1 + 2 = 3.
Yeah. We're...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, Joe, nice. How about you?
All right. One of my tips, so these are not linked at all, my different tips, so we're just going to jump around. So as far as dental work, dental cleaning, caring for your teeth goes, I know that a lot of people don't have that on their insurance plans, but it's a necessary thing. And so one area that I found that you can save money on, you know, teeth cleanings, care for your teeth, is by going to like a local dental school, like looking up local dental schools in your area. And a lot of times they'll provide discounted work because they are training their students. So there is a level of risk involved, and I think you do have to sign some sort of waiver that is acknowledging that it's a student working on you, but it's always checked by their, I don't know if they'd call it their professor, but their teacher will be checking their work. And they've had some experience with it, but yeah, to some degree, you're a bit of a guinea pig, but they're also not doing crazy things to you. So if you're just in need of a cleaning or a cap or a whatever, definitely look into that option because you can get that at a very reduced cost. If you're willing to go that route.
Yeah. And you can also find, if you're not near a dental school, like Groupons for teeth cleanings. I've used that before. I've gotten my teeth cleaned on a mystery shop.
That's awesome.
Yes, I've also got an eye exam through mystery shop. And then even through Ebates, like you can get a teeth cleaning, but you can get contacts for cheap. You can get cash back on contacts. So all these like different things that we see like savings on, they're not just restaurants. A lot of times they will include like some health services. And I'll put the link. It's funny to see all of my bullet points. They all have a link because I'm so conditioned to provide support for all of my ideas. And yours, Jill, you're just like putting them all out there. It's all my experience.
I have one link. I do have a link to share.
You do, actually. I'm sorry. It's on the next page and I did not see it.
You're good. I can find links for you. If that's what'll make you happy, Jen.
You don't need them. Actually, I will say that two of the four links that I've posted, I've written.
That's awesome. So, definitely.
Yeah. But I use A Closer Look, and that is the company that I have gotten the eye exam and teeth cleaning through. And I can't say the companies that I've shopped, but I can say that I have done that through A Closer Look.
Nice.
Yeah.
So speaking of preventative care, this one's going to be a shout out to my mother-in-law, Linda Sirianni.
Woo!
So, yeah, I married into a great family. I am very blessed to have an amazing mother-in-law. I know a lot of people can't say that, but I can say that. Anyhow, she swears by and does this. She drinks vinegar every day. So apple cider vinegar, Dr. Bragg's is her like go-to brand because it comes with the mother, which is an awful phrase, you know, for anybody into like kombucha and vinegar. It's just so gross. Like it comes with the mother, which is like this slimy Oh.
It's got an exclamation mark. Like, that's a good thing.
Living thing. It's a gross thing. So gross. And if you get like chunks of the mother, it's so gross.
Oh, gross.
Anyhow, diluted in a little bit of water. So like a tablespoon of vinegar with like a 1/4 cup water. I don't know. That's not a hard and fast rule. That's just an approximate. And she does it every day and she is very rarely sick. I'm not as religious with this. I do drink it like if I feel sickness coming on and it does do me well. But that's just like one. And then that would go along with these other preventative things that we're talking about. I am not a healthcare freak fanatic. Definitely not. But I will say that there's something to be said for caring for your body to some degree, you know, giving it the nutrients that it needs to care for like your whole person. Like you need protein, you need water, you need like these certain things in your body. Yeah. And then knowing some of the natural remedies for what you might be feeling. I know another thing that my mother-in-law will often swear by is magnesium. Like when you're feeling really anxious or maybe PMSing, that's something I will also like dilute in my water as well. And that also helps. So just like, yeah, learning some of these little natural remedies that can help for some things that maybe you would typically buy a medication for or go to the doctor for, whatever. Do some of these preventative care things.
Yeah, my mom drinks apple cider vinegar and she swears by it too. And I wouldn't take it in the summer, but like definitely during flu season, we'll take something every day just to prevent. And we this year took ACF, which is a liquid like preventative. It's an immune booster. And we got it at the health food store and it's from Buried Treasures. And we made it through all of flu season without a sickness. Yeah. So we definitely swear by that. But apple cider vinegar is a cheaper option. So we may get through it. But I was dealing with all these sick people like face to face, like all day, every day. So I definitely needed something strong. But now that I'm not around them all the time, we definitely could use some apple cider vinegar. I actually had a guy come into our office and we recommend people with the flu do not get acupuncture, that they go actually like get some treatment because the flu is different from a cold. Like a cold, your body can fight out. A flu is more serious and that is contagious and you don't want to give that to people. But we had this kid come in and he was convinced he had a cold, but he had like chills and fever and body aches and pains. And I was like, dude, you've got telltale signs of the flu. But he was missing like one symptom. And so he was convinced, he was in denial that he had the flu. And I was like, you need to get out of my office because I cannot deal with this. Mm-hmm. But on the same subject, acupuncture is another great preventative care. It's not so great when you have the flu, but if you're trying to prevent it or treat like early onset of certain illnesses or disorders, we find a lot of success with treating things like when they're just starting to get painful or a nuisance, getting, 3 to 6 months worth of treatments can either set it back to where you're good and you don't have to come back for several years, or just slow down progressions.
Yeah.
So I recommend community acupuncture. Like I said before, it's affordable. The acupuncturists are trained in schools that only teach acupuncture. They're well versed in it, and they're the most fun acupuncturists in the field. So they're super down to earth. But yeah, that's a really good like preventative measure.
Yeah. That's awesome. I've never done acupuncture, but I've heard phenomenal things about it.
I was just listening to a podcast this morning about financial independence, and their guest on there got pregnant using like acupuncture as the aid. Like nobody could, and this is something I've seen personally, nobody like could help her. All her doctors said she just needed to go to IVF. And then an acupuncturist was like, give me 4 months. And almost 4 months to the day, she was pregnant.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard on a lot of different levels, acupuncture being good, even within like addiction. I've heard people, well, actually for pain management, which for those struggling with addiction, a lot of times they want to stay away from those painkillers or benzos that doctors just love to pass out like it's water. But if they're trying to manage their addiction in an appropriate way, it's like, well, what do I do? But I've heard that acupuncture has been phenomenal for some people who are trying to manage pain, but also not get themselves into something that they know is just going to be, you know, an uphill battle for them if they've got that in their past. So yeah, again, I've never done it, but I've heard great things. And Jen, I trust you and you're an acupuncturist. So
I still have my license. It's still current. So
I don't know why I didn't make you stick needles in me when I was there. Why did that not happen? Do you not do it for friends?
Well, friends don't usually ask. Oh. It's not something you sit around. Well, it's not that I haven't done that. I have, but like sit around, you know, on the couch and, I stick needles in people. I only do it if they ask.
Okay. But if I had asked you, you would have been like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't do it to people that don't want it.
If I had just said like, I don't really have anything that's bothering me right now, but I kind of just want you to do acupuncture on me. Like, would you know, like, what would you do?
Oh yeah. I've done that all the time. It releases like serotonin and dopamine. So even if you don't have anything wrong, after about 15 minutes with the needles in, you can still feel a difference because your like body will release extra serotonin and dopamine and you'll feel kind of, you know, lighter, more like super chill.
We're gonna do that next time I'm out.
Okay.
And actually, we should probably record an episode like while it's happening, and then it'll be a social experiment. As in, how can you tell a difference as time passes in what Jill is saying and doing?
Oh my gosh, possibly. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you definitely have community acupuncture near you, definitely try that out. Another thing that I really like and have just been recently getting into is contributing to the health savings account that's available to me. So I was reading some studies for work and I wrote this piece about the federal study about Social Security and Medicare that was released in June. And it says that the reserves, like the reserve funds for both Social Security and Medicare will be depleted within the next 20 years and Medicare in just 3 years. So that doesn't mean that they're going away, but it means that the funding that's coming in will not be able to meet the need of the expenses. Like that is a for sure 100% guarantee. And so one of the ways to combat this, specifically for Medicare, is to contribute to your health savings account. So those health savings accounts or HSAs are available to people on high deductible health plans. And that is what a lot of young people are on because the premiums are more affordable. And if you're not going to the doctor that often, it's a great way to save money on healthcare. And the health savings account versus the flexible spending account, FSA. FSAs, you have to, it's a use it or lose it. HSAs are held at banks. So mine is held at PNC Bank. And you keep that with you forever. Whether you stay at your job, leave your job, that HSA is yours. And once you put a minimum of $2,000 into it, anything over $2,000 can be invested just like a retirement account. And this account can grow interest just like a 401k or IRA, but you can access it before you turn 65 or whenever you can access those. God, I should know that. Before 59 and a half, you can access it anytime you have a qualified medical expense. But what a lot of people do is because anything you contribute past $2,000. So I think the limit is, at the time of this recording, about $3,450. And you can contribute that every year you're on the high deductible health plan. And that can grow over time. And if you have a qualified medical expense like Band-Aids, those are qualified medical expenses. You buy some Band-Aids, keep the receipt, record it on your computer. And later on, after your money has been growing like gangbusters, you can submit that whenever you want that money back. It doesn't have to be. There is no time limit. As long as you submit the receipts on your taxes that for that year, then you will not be charged tax on the withdrawal. Like, you can withdraw it at any time, even for other things, but then you have to pay capital gains tax on that withdrawal, just like withdrawing on any other retirement thing. But so HSAs, the growth, so if you keep contributing to them early and often and just let them grow, by the time you are relying on Medicare, it's going to have a lot of growth in there that you can fall back on to subsidize.
I mean, I learned something new because I thought that HSAs was a, I thought both HSA and FSA, it's like you put this money in the account, but if you don't use it by the end of the year, then it's gone. And I was like, why would anybody do this ever?
Yeah, it's that's FSAs and HSAs are a great investment vehicle. They are, you put the money in before tax, so you're not taxed on the amount you're putting in. And then, because it has to be done through like your employer offering it, I believe. So that just comes right out of your paycheck. You don't pay taxes on it. You don't pay taxes on any of the growth in the investment account. And then you take it out. And as long as you're spending it on a medical expense, it's tax-free.
That's great.
And then once you become, I'm not 100% sure. I think it's 59 and a half or sometime in your 60s. It actually turns into a retirement account. So you can use that just like for anything. You do pay some taxes on it, but yeah, it's a really great vehicle.
Nice.
All right.
Good Jill. One. Yeah. So, I mean, since I'm a social worker, it is fitting that my mind also went to mental health in this conversation about health insurance. And a lot of times health insurance won't cover mental health concerns. So seeing a therapist, a psychiatrist, having a psychiatric evaluation, some does definitely. And so if you don't need to know about this, then that's fine. But for those who are needing some mental health care, but it's not being covered by their health insurance, there are some options. I mean, first of all, just make sure that it's not covered with your health insurance company. Like, call them up and just see, like, where could I go? But also, so this is one of the links to an article that I'll post. That, it's a BuzzFeed article. Like, so what do I do if I don't have the money to pay for this? So there are, you could look into free support groups, depending on what it is that you might be dealing with at the time, whether it's grief or anxiety or depression or addiction. So check out some support groups. There's been a lot of success in groups like that and being able to share similar experiences. There's also a lot of therapists who will provide sliding scale, fees, or, you know, depending on what your income is, they will slide the scale for you. So they might be able to see you for an hour for $30 rather than their typical $90. Or some will even do pro bono work. They'll take on a certain number of clients, you know, every month, or every year that they provide free services to. So look into that. And again, this is kind of a, like, there might be grad schools or training hospitals in the area that also might provide free or discounted therapy. And again, they're being supervised by somebody qualified, so it's not too risky. I mean, I wouldn't go there if you're dealing with some very serious mental health concerns. But if you've got some low level concerns and you think it'd be helpful to talk to somebody, then that's an option as well. And then just knowing your websites, there's SAMHSA, there's NAMI, you can look into and call those different places for the things that you're looking into and needing, and they might be able to provide some support that you didn't know about that could be free or at a reduced rate. So I'll post that article for those of you on that spectrum of need.
Cool. Thanks, Jill. Yeah. Well, we dove into a lot of subjects on healthcare, possibly too many, but we want to wrap it up for now. And we hope that if you want to know more about a certain topic and you wanted to expound upon it, I guess, in a different episode, then please let us know in our Facebook group. It's called Frugal Friends Community. And thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you like the message we're spreading, you can support us by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and hitting the subscribe button. You'll get new episodes every Frugal Friends Friday. And that Facebook group is at frugalfriendspodcast.com/group for more discussion on today's episode. We definitely want to know what you want to see from us in the future. So please don't hesitate to make requests. Can't promise that we'll talk about all of them, but as many as possible.
Yeah, I like it. Until next time.
See you next week
on the Frugal Friends Podcast.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.